Welcome to another episode of the Let's Sip podcast, the podcast where we pontificate on all things craft beer. I'm your host, Brandon E. Gaylor, and it has finally happened. I am doing a podcast record on location, so to speak, out in the field, and I'm at a brewery. And they came to me and they wanted to set me up with a very posh suite that I could record in. Had like a massage chair and like a personal server to bring me beers and food anytime I wanted and everything like that. And I just told them that I'm still sticking to my roots, even though I'm highly successful right now. I need to be out amongst the people, that's where I currently am, sitting outside. So if you hear voices and chatter in the background, that is certainly why. Of course, I'm full of it, and none of that ever happened, or probably will ever happen. But I am attempting to record a podcast from a patio and at a brewery live in the flesh. We'll see how it goes. At least right now, there's no music cranked up to hear and listen to in the background. I am in an area where there aren't anybody sitting around me just yet, so I am able to talk, and hopefully I can get something out of it. But if that changes, then the next segment will probably be different and from some other location. But right now, I am at Holdout Brewing in Austin, Texas. This is my second trip to the brewery. The first time was rather successful. This is a place where they do both 4 ounce pours and they do 10 ounce pours, or what amounts to about half a pint, a couple ounces more than half a pint. So definitely like it when you see those options at a brewery, because depending on what the size of their tap list is, and you don't want to drink too much, it allows you the chance to try several different beers, try some of their different options that they have on. This was certainly the case with Holdout. They had a big tap list. They still have a big tap list with a lot of beers on it. A lot of hazy IPAs. There's like 4 or 5 on the menu currently. So of course, hazy is still as big a thing as ever. But they do have some other good stuff as well. I tried their Kolsch last time I was here. They had a lighter, what they called a session ale, which wasn't really hoppy, but was very, had a lot of flavor. It was a little more fruit forward. I wouldn't really, like I said, I wouldn't call it a pale ale because it really didn't have much hop notice to it. But it had a little bit of spice, a little bit of fruit. It was very easy drinking. I would definitely put that up even against like a Blue Moon or something like that for somebody who is looking for something light and refreshing to drink, especially on a hot day like today. And since it is so warm today, I started with pale ale that they have. Unfortunately, I couldn't find any information on the hops they used, but the ABV was low, sitting at an even 5%. The bitterness was low as well, at about a 35. So right according to what the style ought to be. And they claimed it was chuggable on their display board in their tap room, and I would have to concur. Thought it was pretty darn tasty. I feel like I smelled Citra on the nose. I will have to check with people at the counter and see if they know, and see if my nose and my familiarity and recognition of hops is improving at all. Because if there is no Citra in there, then it hasn't made any headwinds in that department. I had heard that they had made a porter, but apparently their porter is not year-round, so it was not available. They did have a stout that was in cans last time I was here. I did not opt for that before I left. And they do not have it listed on their board now, so maybe they were just trying to get rid of the last of they had of the seasonal cans or whatever. But dark beer is not very popular in this warm climate during the warmer part of the year, which I am rather disappointed by, because I'm still under the belief that beer, dark beer, could be drank at any point in time. No matter location or season, but hey, that's just me. They do, however, have an Imperial Red that I am interested in trying. The other day, I did pick up a six-pack of beer to enjoy at home. This time around, I was once again looking for something from a brewer which is more readily available and distributes at different places throughout the nation, so people can actually look out for the beer and find it. And I don't always just want to talk about hyper local beer, even though I think it is fun just to discuss beer. I also want to talk about stuff that people can also pick up and try wherever they might be located. So that's why I go with some of the bigger breweries as well and try their stuff. And always depends on what the selection looks like and what I can get fresh. And I found a new release from Dogfish Head that I had not tried before, and they made a hazy IPA, which they call Hazy O. I believe I talked previously about the Liquid Truth Serum, which had four different kinds of hops in it. Apparently, Dogfish Head still makes Liquid Truth Serum if it is in its original form from when I first had it. I would highly recommend giving it a try. They have four different kinds of hops in there. I believe it was hop flour, hop pellets, hop oils, and there's probably one other that I am missing, and I don't off the bat know what it is. But it was a very, very amazing aroma on the beer, and it was just a very tasty IPA. There's a reason why I mentioned if it's still in its original form, but Liquid Truth Serum, I would give that a try for sure. But this time around, I went with this Hazy O IPA. We are still in June as of this recording right now, and the date on the cans said it was drink before September. So I'm thinking even if it's a 6 month date, then it was only about 3 months within 90 days, and it was refrigerated in the store that I picked it up as, so I think we'd still be pretty good to go as far as freshness is concerned. Okay, like I'm gonna end up dying on that hill of talking about fresh beer, but I do think it is important to note and remember, and I always want to put that out there for everybody, especially for people who might be trying to get into craft beer and trying other stuff, because I don't want non-fresh beer to ruin your experience if you're trying craft beer for the first time, of course. So relative freshness was confirmed. And this Hazy O, Hazy IPA, sticking to the trend, of course, glomming on to the trend of haze and New England-style IPAs. But this Hazy O was brewed with four different kinds of oats. There's oat milk in this bad boy. There was naked oats. There was milled oats. And there was one other kind of oats that I cannot remember. Milled oats, maybe it was? Did I already say milled oats? I think I did. Oh, anyway, I can't remember what the other one was. This is me being really, really bad at my job. Four different kinds of oats in this guy. And perhaps it was just kind of a gimmick. I felt like maybe I picked up a little bit more of like the oat milkiness. It adds to the mouthfeel, but maybe that was kind of, maybe that came through a little bit more once the beer warmed up just a tad. However, if you gotta let the beer warm up to a certain extent before that flavor comes out, you can't let it get too warm, of course. It's not quite like a stout or a porter where it's a little bit easier to drink when it warms up, or you get more flavor like when it warms up. I feel like hoppy stuff is still like that, still needs to stay relatively cold. Of course, you can drink a beer when it's a little, when it's not quite chilled and you don't want it super cold, but I feel like there's diminishing returns if you gotta let this guy warm up to get that taste of the oats coming out of it. And of course, it's mostly marketing. It's a marketing gimmick, of course. I didn't think it made a huge difference as far as like a hazy IPA goes. The one big thing that I did note from this particular beer was that I was just overall underwhelmed. It didn't feel like a Dogfish Head beer to me, in the sense that of like, didn't feel like they took a risk that much with it. With the four different kinds of oats in here, I was expecting something just a little bit different, a little more unique. Even if it was a failure and it was odd, I would have rather had something with a little bit different taste to it. I had to go back to my Untappd and just look up the different Dogfish Head beers that I had, really, because I was looking for the name of Liquid Truth Serum, which I had forgotten. But I just kind of went through what the history of what I had had from Dogfish Head, and I just remember, like, even the stuff that I didn't particularly care for when I tried some of their beers, I was always impressed because they were doing something a little bit different, a little bit unique, and they were taking a risk. With this Hazy O, I feel like it just felt like they were playing it safe. Even with, like I said, with these four different kinds of oats, it didn't add anything special to this particular beer. It was fine, it was okay, so. And that brings us to the elephant in the room, since they were bought out by the Boston Beer Company, the corporation that makes Sam Adams. Much like how I will still triumph Lagunitas and what they do, because their beer just knocks it out of the park, even though they were pretty much bought out by Heineken. I think Heineken is wise enough to say, just keep doing what you're doing. And like, as I mentioned within last episode with the Supercluster, just still a tremendous beer that just blows you away, even after all the different beers that I've tried since. I was still hoping Dogfish Head could kind of go the same route and they would just let them do their own thing and kind of just soar and go their own way. So I was a little bit wary, but I was also hoping that Sam Caglione was wise enough to make sure that creative control would still remain within, you know, his organization. He could kind of do his own thing and make his own style of beers. Oh, and by the way, as a little bit of a sidebar, apparently they've done in some sort of blend of, well, I'm late to the game on this, but apparently they did a blend of their Utopias and a Worldwide Stout. I'd be interested to try that. Apparently that was at the end of 2020 last year. I'm sure all of those bottles are long gone, if there was any ever that came out or was widely available. But that would be interesting to try. But that's just me ranting on a sidebar. But also, as I mentioned earlier, as about whether it was a relatively new beer or not, apparently Hazy O was first released, I believe, in October of last year, in 2020. So it's still relatively new. Like I said, I was ready to put my money up, hoping for good things, hoping they would stay the course. And after I think I don't know if it was before I took my first sip or after. I looked on the can, and apparently, some of their beer is not is their beer is no longer all being made in Delaware or on the East Coast as it originally was, which is not surprising, of course. This is the world of business, and this is how it is. But I think there's two other locations now that there's are brewing Dogfish Head beers, and I do believe they are the same locations that are making beer for Boston Beer Company as well, which would make sense. But apparently now Boston Beer Company is involved in production of beers such as this. Now, I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not. If the recipe is still coming from Dogfish Head itself, I really don't know. Like, if Dogfish Head was still 100% responsible for the recipe, that really shouldn't make a difference about where the beer is being made or where it's produced. I don't know how Lagunitas operates, but I feel like, if the recipe is the same and they're brewing places throughout the country, although Lagunitas still has had, I don't know what their situation like, but they still had a large brewery in like at least a few different areas throughout the country. One big one in Chicago, of course, then one in California. I believe they had one in the Carolinas. So they had kind of a spatially, they had everything, they had it all covered, so to speak. But I know Dogfish Head was a little bit different story. They were mostly a very, they still had huge distribution, of course, because I'm from Chicago and they were there, and I'm in Texas now and they're down here. So they had a, they still seem to be smaller, so to speak, and mostly situated on the East Coast. So I don't know what, in terms of the merger and the buying out and all that, if they wanted to kick up production or distribution or whatever, but it seems now some of their beer is being produced in locations other than a Dogfish Head brewery. And I don't know if that is playing a factor in the final product or not. There's corners being cut on quality, perhaps, or something like that. Or is it in the recipe itself? And does Boston Beer Company have a hand now in what is being produced as far as recipe goes? I do know that Dogfish Head website, which I wasn't always ever a really a frequent flyer on, but I wanted to see what they had as far as beer listings. That's how I knew that Liquid True Serum is still out there. But the what they have listed on their site now is far less than like all the beers that they used to produce for so long. Like, they used to always be mixing it up and trying new stuff, and I don't know if that's perhaps their one-offs. And of course, not going to have all their one-offs listed, so maybe they are still doing one-offs, but maybe not. Does Boston Beer Company have a hand in the recipes now and what they can produce, or don't they? I think that's the big question that we have here, and that's what kind of makes me wonder after trying this beer. Because, like I said, it was solid. I have no major complaints. It was fine, but this is Dogfish Head we're talking about, and I don't know, does fine cut it? Like I said, even if I not liked something they've made, I was always still glad that I had tried it, because they were doing big things and cool things and interesting things. And I just want to see the same from them going forward. But maybe that's not how it's going to be with them any longer. And if that's the case, I'm kind of disappointed. I think I've only had one can out of the six pack, or maybe two, so I do have to revisit to find out for sure. But I think Dogfish Head is producing like a craft cocktail or something, or a seltzer now too. I just have no interest in that kind of stuff, so Aside from what I see on the internet, I really don't pay too much attention to that. But I'd really hate for all the focus to go that way when I've always kind of liked all the interesting stuff that they used to do with breweries. But like I said, I would still give the Hazy O a try. I think it's worth it. I think they still do cool stuff and like. I want to see. I want to find a freshie of some 90-minute IPA. I haven't had 90-minute in so long. I wish they would do like a stovepipe can of 90-minute. If they do, I don't ever see it around. I always see the 60-minute, and the 60-minute is fine too when you can get it fresh. But I would definitely like to revisit some 90-minute. But yeah, I would say give it a try. Let the world know what you think. Let me know what you think. But my initial impression on the Hazy O was I was a little disappointed, expecting something a little bit more daring and out there, and I just didn't get it. But maybe that's the merger, and maybe that's just even hazy IPAs in general. Maybe they shouldn't have gone that route. The idea that Dogfish Head would come out with a hazy, a couple years after hazy was a thing, that kind of reeks of a Boston Beer Company move. The guy who started Boston Beer Company doesn't even like IPAs, but all of a sudden he was making super hoppy IPAs. So I don't know. That's just my two cents on this particular beer and this particular topic. So as I'm still sitting here at Holdout Brewing, did start with a couple of hoppy beers, the pale ale, and then I followed that up with the Koala Takedown, which was a New England style with New Zealand style hops, and wanted to follow up with something a little bit different, and it is a unique beer style that I have seen a couple of times now in my stay here in Texas, and that is the oddball, relatively obscure style known as a grisette. And to learn more about the grisette, we go to the one of the gods of brewing, the Allagash website. And Allagash states that as a grisette is a refreshing low alcohol beer with origins in the Hainaut province of Belgium. Grisettes are crisp, medium, light bodied, citrusy beers brewed to be endlessly approachable. And this grisette I have in front of me kind of looks like a glass of grapefruit juice, maybe. So it is super hazy, so people like haze, and there you have it. But it's not hoppy, it is more a relative of the Saison. But I think a grisette is a little bit easier drinking than a Saison is. You still have them notes of that particular yeast strain that gives that little bit of banana or clovish element, but I think it's a little more tamed down, a little bit milder. Perhaps that's not so much the yeast, but it's maybe it's the fact that a grisette is usually a little more fruit forward than a traditional saison. Maybe that's the difference. Maybe the fruit balances the yeast taste a little bit more. But the grisette's been relatively it's nice to see that around. Holdout here has a grisette called Liquid Bake Sale. It was part of a charity that they did. All proceeds going to, I think, the local Brewers Association. I also recently explored a Belgian beer bar that is relatively close to where I work. So I got to try a grisette there as well. So that explains the frequent exposure to grisettes, but I am finding them quite enjoyable for something a little bit lighter, a little bit easier to drink. A nice break from the hops, but plenty of flavor, not overly sweet. Like I said, not so much of the biting, that banana-y clover aspect. Sometimes with the Saison, for as light as they can be, sometimes the ABV does get up there a little bit, and they can just start to wear on your palate a little bit, especially with the unique taste notes of that yeast strain. So, I said I'm not always super big into fruit-forward beers or sweet beers, but I feel like the Grisette is definitely lighter, not quite as sweet, a little bit more mellow, and something in the like the under 5% ABV range, which is just perfect for a hot weather drink. And definitely kind of a palate cleanser in between hoppy stuff. Like I said, I started with a couple of hoppy beers, trying something lighter, and I think I want to move on to that Imperial Red after I polish off this pint. So Grisette is definitely something I'm looking forward to seeing more of. Apparently, the name Grisette comes from, translated to mean little gray. Apparently, this might have reference to the gray dresses of women passing out beers to miners. Grisettes were brewed from miners working in the local mines, while Saisons were brewed mainly for farm workers, which explains the name Farmhouse Ale, which is often what a Saison is also known as. So leave it to Allagash to be the first result on a search of a Grisette beer. And if anybody deserves to explain what a Grisette is, it would be Allagash Brewing. I gotta hand it to him. So there you have it. If you are lucky enough to see a Grisette style beer on a tap menu or at a brewery you go to, I would give it a try and then introduce it to the light beer drinker and expand their world, and hopefully they will become a new fan as well. Okay, so I did have to come back and talk about this beer. I'm currently drinking a Red Bread Redemption. Obviously a play on the popular video game series. But this is by far one of the darkest red beers I've ever drank. They call it an Imperial Red Ale, but man, this thing is malty and heavy. It certainly is bready. It is absolutely insane. I thought that they said the ABV on this was only in the high sevens. They're only serving it in a 10-ounce pour, so maybe I'm off on that a little bit, but my goodness, is this thing bready and malty. This is the closest I've ever had to a beer being a stout and being a red ale. It is crazy. I mean, the nose on it is like a stout. It looks like a stout. This is on the edge of being a stout, but there is a red hue in there. It is certainly a red beer. It's an Imperial Red, so they're not lying there, but Holdout Brewing, this might be my last beer, perhaps? I don't know, they do have food here, but I don't know if it's from the cafe next door or not. Their burgers sound like they might be pretty good, the prices seem reasonable, so maybe I'll go with the burger. I'm not going to review it here, it's not my wheelhouse, per se, but I think this will close out this episode, but this Imperial Red, it's pretty solid and unique, and I'm kind of digging it. It's like it's satisfying my stout niche and my enjoyment of reds in the same vein. So On that note, I will be enjoying this Red Bread Redemption, and that will do it for this episode of the Let's Sip podcast. I did not note it on the episode last week, but we did cross the 40 episode threshold, so that was pretty cool. Took us a while to get there, but we made it. As always, I appreciate anybody who bothered to listen, and we will see you next time. Until then, sip whatever you'd like to sip on, and we'll see you then. That will do it for this episode of the Let's Sip podcast. I'm your host, Brandon E. Gaylor. Podcast theme music composed by Brandon E. Gaylor. Special thanks to Anchor.fm for hosting the podcast. Feel free to follow us on Instagram at Let's Sip Podcast. Thank you very much for sipping with us, and we'll drink with you again next time. Bye-bye.